Hello everyone, today I have Neil Dumra with us, who is the founder of the Third Eye Meditation Lounge and Elixir Bar, where they offer a variety of classes, including tantra and yoga, sound healing, men's groups, and offer some incredible ceremonial cacao. If you have not had that before, I really can't describe how soul-filling these elixirs are. Now, Neil has a certified tantra meditation coach and teacher. He studied energy and esoteric healing all around the world, and his expertise includes Ayurveda, genetics, yoga, intuitive healing, inner alchemy, and positive body realization. Prior to all this, he also has experience working in retreats and hospitality management as a consultant in a variety of startups, and he's also a trained chef. So I learned a lot from this. I just also align, I think, with what Neil's putting out in the world, and I hope you do as well. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Live for Yourself Revolution, where our mission is to highlight stories of intrapreneurs and entrepreneurs who are truly living for themselves. I'm your host, Dr. Benjamin Ritter, leadership and career coach focused on guiding you toward a career and life you can love. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome, Neil. How's your day going?
Wonderful, Benjamin. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, if I can share this, you were just out playing pickleball. I'm not sure if all our audience members know what pickleball is, but I kind of want to share that pickleball is one of the most interesting sports that I've played in a long time. I haven't played a new sport in a long time.
Yeah. Fastest growing sport in America as well.
Wow. And so we met in Austin. We met at, I think, one of my favorite places in Austin, which you are the founder of, Third Eye Meditation Lounge, which serves some pretty incredible ceremonial cacao elixirs, as well as has classes on health and wellness, everything from sound healing, meditation, ecstatic dance. I don't know if did I say that right? And yeah, a variety of other things. And I was just so fascinated when you started sharing just like a droplet of your story that I would love to hear more for myself as well as for our audience. Cause that seems like you truly are living for yourself in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think that's what freedom is all about. And, I've experienced the other side of it, obviously to be able to feel, this side and more of what I feel is energetically sovereign. So I'll give you a little backstory. I was born and raised in Minnesota, born with the hereditary of Indian parents, entrepreneurial parents. My grandparents came from India when I was about a month old and were my basic sole caretakers. My parents were very busy working, and I got to experience like some wisdom and some culture. My grandma was very much into Ayurveda and plants and gardening, and my grandfather was so good at procurement. So he would go to five different grocers or places to get the food for our house because he was very particular. And so it was like I loved my grandparents' house and being with them and that experience. And also, obviously, my parents, you know, were business. They were entrepreneurs. My dad would work a sales job and would do security at night. And my mom also was an entrepreneur, and they wanted to grow from where they came from. And so I got to experience almost kind of like rich dad, poor dad, where two different types of energies, you know, my parents and my grandparents, and different kind of ways of giving presence. And that was something that taught me a lot, actually. So born in Minnesota, raised there, was into dancing as a child. I had a business dancing like Michael Jackson, and I got hurt from doing that a lot. I broke my hips. I was in a wheelchair for about a year when I was 13. And then later on, I started playing tennis, and I got obsessed with tennis and table tennis. I learned how to find focus there, and got into hospitality, went to school for hospitality management, went to Florida first, and then I went to England. I got selected to be in the honors program there. And, from there came back and finished my degree in Wisconsin, and basically, in love Midwest. It's a beautiful place. And then eventually, fell in love with Texas. So I've been here for the last 8 years. And at one point when I was in the hospitality industry, I was 265 pounds. So I had gotten away from my roots of what my grandparents taught me, and I needed to go back into healing. So around 21, I quit drinking alcohol, quit drinking coffee, and I started learning about health. I started learning from all the experts, and I started implementing an Ayurvedic diet, Ayurvedic lifestyle. I went vegan for 7 years. I was in a national vegan health and fitness magazine based on a diet that I believed was the right way. No longer am I vegan, but I am still plant-based. And I created Third Eye Meditation Lounge as a representation of my grandparents' home. It was just a 700 square feet studio when I first started 5 years ago. And now we've got so much space here in Casa de Luz. And the space was a container full of love and intention. And for people to feel comfortable being themselves, and it's really just a place for grounding. So grounded expansion is what I wanted to have, and almost like an incubator for people to feel very comfortable being who they are. So Third Eye is kind of like that. It's very open-minded. It's very different in the way we utilize energy. So coffee is something that we don't serve much of here. Because one cup of coffee requires 32 glasses of water to balance your internal pH. And so our dream and idea and belief is to get people out of their head and into the heart space. And that's what cacao and ceremonial cacao's intention is. So, all right.
I mean, what a great journey. I almost want to see it mapped out so I can kind of look at it and follow it and ask questions regarding it. Because I also had an entrepreneurial family, and that impacted my view of what is acceptable work, which I think a lot of what I'm hearing you say is like you've kind of challenged like what is acceptable and what do I want to accept and how do I want to integrate that into my life and to then impact my behaviors and my intentions. But from what I know about you too, you've traveled a bit, and I think you've learned that there are different stories that can be acceptable and not acceptable. But so what else has influenced your life? You know, you mentioned your education, you mentioned your family, you mentioned that entrepreneurial kind of mindset.
I mean, I used to run my family's business, which we used to get awards from some of these companies, which after learning some of the practices on what they're doing on a global level, to name names, Monsanto and General Mills and Cargill, mass manufacturing of food that I believe is very much connected to the mass manufacturing of medicine, which is one of the reasons why I'm creating places like Third Eye, is for people to understand both macrobiotics and microbiotics, as well as the terrain theory. So like understanding how we can each as individuals take care of our containers, live in community by consuming as much as we can locally, and also being connected to where we are. I feel like that is how we can become kind of sovereign in our health in certain ways. So, yeah. I mean, so my sister is a doctor. My dad worked for a big pharma, and my mom is, is kind of an entrepreneur and believes completely what our ancestors taught us, essentially. So it's kind of like, and then now my dad and my sister are now on the more of the natural Eastern side of things. Over the time. So it's a very interesting, like when I look at my tribe, my family, there's a lot of shift happening right now. So it's pretty beautiful.
What kind of, I guess for you yourself, was it something that woke you up, or was it something that consistently was there? As you said, you were, you know, and you had a different level of health than you do now in the past.
Oh yeah. It was a wake up for sure. I mean, there was, as I learned more and I started implementing lifestyle changes, and they became permanent lifestyle changes, the results showed for themselves. And if I were to ever have regressions of any form, the evidence would prove itself that there's a certain vibration when it comes to how we consume and how we live. And there's a result from that as well. So it's at the end of the day, you can look at science, but we are science. I'm science. So I'm my own doctor. I'm my own healer. I'm science. I can see evidence. And I can be biased, but I have people around me who are not biased, who show me my science.
My mind is tongue twisted up. I feel like I'm reading a Dr. Seuss book that is lending itself to awareness and self-acceptance. You mentioned community and what you just said. If I'm not aware, then at least I have people around me that are aware. You know, when you reflect on your own journey, what helped you become aware of that science, or what's reminded you of that science?
Yeah. So my theory and my mantra at Third Eye is you have to slow down in order to speed up. So just like in pickleball or in tennis, I'm a huge tennis fan. You have to split step. What is split step? You jump on your feet and you ground. So being grounded is how you develop presence. If you're not grounded, you're in the ethers, you're out of body, and you cannot be connected to your soul. You cannot be connected to your being. And that's the most important thing when it comes to anything, is having that tether and having that self regulation and having that that connection. So that's kind of the what we do here is we have community spaces, we have men's groups where people can express themselves and learn how to communicate and also be able to see the mirror. So there's this thing that happens when you create community. It's like we have our culture and our body and our gut. We also have a macro culture that we all share. And when we share it, we get to express it and see it and make certain shifts together because we get that awareness together. It's almost like you can go certainly as far as you want to alone, but you can go way farther as a group. And that's what happens in community when you have those reflections and have that intimacy. You're developing that mirror.
So prior to Third Eye, was your desire just to say, okay, I want to create the type of love and container that I've had for others, and I want to create that community for myself and for the people around in this community itself? Was it like, what was the goal of the purpose when you decided to launch this business? Because from what I'm hearing, there was already a successful business in your background that you might have been able to do yourself.
Yeah, so my dad used to always say, I don't have a rich father like you do. And it's a funny thing, because my parents made it in a way my life as a child to be pretty amazing. And I'm so grateful that I was able to harness that amazingness and be able to share it. I was always someone who wanted to share. And I believed that when you share, you get to receive. I believed in that, and that's how you share, with that same kind of energetic exchange. So even for a couple of years when I was doing this cacao business, people in Austin who I served thousands of cups of cacao to never paid for cacao. I was just giving it away. I just wanted to share. And it came back. Obviously, it comes back. That's just how the universe works. Just like the tennis ball, it just comes back. And so that's what I believe is. It's kind of like, obviously I didn't give more than I could, you know, take care of my own self, but it was enough where I was able to create the traction that I needed to create culture. And that's how community lives off of, is that culture, is that expression, is that vehicle, is that container.
Yeah. How do you ensure that container stays actually backtracking? How do you know the container that you need for yourself?
That I need for myself? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. How do you know what you need to surround yourself with? How do you know what you need in your environment to really thrive? How do you know the type of support system that you require? I mean, I get it where you, it's easier to tell what's off based on something that you feel is off, but how do you know what to create? Because you are providing a container that you believe is important.
Yeah. So I think it constantly gets shaped by the world. So just like a rock through water, it just gets shaped. So like, even if I try to create something and it's just like my creation, it's not going to be my creation. I'm, in terms of my wealth dynamics, in terms of my energy, I've studied enough about who I am and what I do and how I operate, where I've got the intimacy of like what my shadow aspects are and what I need to back away from and what I'm expertise at and what I'm not at. And so it's one of those things where I have a team now where they we're all like working together in more of a holocratic way, where if I'm not on point, I'll get to know that right away. And it's okay. That's fine. And it's always, everything that we create is always getting molded, I feel like, from the world and us as a collective. So I think everything I've created has had that. And the things that I've been stubborn about have never really been successful. So that's the opportunity, right? Is to know no one to hold them, no one to fold them, no one to walk away, no one to run. And that's kind of with any opportunity. I think any kind of creation, it's not just about me. And obviously like a lot of these things are things I enjoy. So it's that I'm going to attract people who also enjoy this type of culture. And I think that's what's important.
What I'm hearing is, you know what you enjoy, work towards it, give, you know, be aware of what is happening when you're giving, be aware of what type of community is being created around you as you give and as you act, and adjust when something is not working exactly, where you're hitting some sort of resistance or roadblock, and try to examine that and say, am I being stubborn here? Am I not paying attention to the environment around me or what I truly need for myself? And then that consistently builds upon itself. Okay, can you add to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know I have limitations, and when I need to grow, I seek mentorship, I seek guidance. And I think that's part of the growth. And there's times when I'm not in the game at all, and that's okay. So it's like just getting to know like my own trauma, my own shadow, my own work, and then also knowing when I need to press to start running and start hitting the ball and just going for it. So I really believe in seasons. I believe in feng shui. I believe in astrology. I believe in energy. I believe in all these things where I take count of my life when it comes to what's happening internally and externally and how they reflect. And so that's how I get to see, you know, what am I carrying that's mine? What am I carrying that's my ancestors? What am I carrying that's my parents? And then also work through some of that stuff.
Well, how does that impact your life then on a daily basis? Because if I'm listening to this, I'm like, I don't have time for this. I have to go to work. I have friends.
Yeah, see, I want to read. I feel semi-retired in the sense like of if I were to compare the workload of my workload to somebody who, you know, is working, you know, to pay the bills and to survive and all those things. I had 3 full-time jobs at one time to start this business. So I've been in a place where I've been able to level up how I receive and how I create abundance in my life. And so from those gears, I've also know how to be a better director and also hit the ball with more accuracy, so to say. So like when I do decide to make money or I do decide to receive more, the things that I do create more time for me to not have to do anything, certainly. So it's kind of like, I feel the most important thing is play and joy. And if you have freedom in your energetics, in your body, then you're going to be able to receive more in life. You're going to be able to have more opportunities. And so when I'm in my flow space the most, that's when I'm able to be the best version of myself. That's the way I'm better, best CEO and president of the business that I run. And I can work better with my employees. And it's just, that's how it works best. So if I'm happy and joyful and free energetically, then everything else flows better. And I believe that's most important.
And the flow state changes based on what you're trying to accomplish.
For sure.
Like if there's a flow state with those 3 jobs, there's a flow state with being semi-retired. And what I see happen a lot with individuals that are really trying to achieve, like they put a lot of pressure on themselves to get to, maybe I'd say where you're at in a way in life, is that they, at the same time, they're trying to do the things that, let's say, someone that already has achieved is doing, like for yourself. They're able to spend a drastic amount of time on introspection or, you know, understanding their shadow and building community and I think overgiving, when those actions might not actually help them get to that place from where they're at. I'm not sure if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so you need to almost adjust, and I wouldn't say sacrifice, but adjust your actions to fit your current goals and the current needs of where you're at in your life to then help you then achieve, right, that next step, that next version, that next vision.
For sure. 100%. And it's like a lot of times it's like gestation periods where you don't want to go full speed because there's certain obstacles that need to be processed. And so just knowing that and having that ability to be very conscious and aware of myself has been really part of my journey, I would say.
Yeah. Because growth never ends.
100%.
And that there's ever a point where you go, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to, well, because so, you can't hit pause on life.
Totally. It's kind of like 2 years ago, if I had a class that canceled, I would be freaking out, or I would probably teach it or find something, you know. And now we've got 4 or 5 classes, and when a class gets canceled, whatever, it doesn't make a big deal. But the worries change after you grow a bit. And my worries are different types of things. My worries are, how can I spend more time with my parents before they leave this planet? Like, I have different worries now because it's just time has changed in how I perceive it, essentially. What I once cared about most is no longer there. It's different cares, I suppose.
And that is a great point. What you care about is going to change over time. You may think it won't, but it will. And the things that you're concerned about and you worry about will change over time. You think they won't, but they will. And you're always going to have worries. You're always going to have concerns and stress. They're just going to be different.
100%.
Hard to predict.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the exciting part about it is when you, so in yoga, they talk about these stages of life that we go through as humans. And those stages, you know, help you live as much as you have to die. So you have this amount of life force energy that you utilize through different chapters. And so you can see that in humans as a collective. And then you can see that in yourself too, like in certain periods where we utilize too much energy for certain things. And then you get to look back and reflect and adjust, acknowledge. But it's and then also, like, you get to see your family do the same thing. It's pretty cool, the reflections.
How do you manage relationships with people that don't have this level of awareness or desire to have this level of awareness?
Oh, I don't think it's a managed thing. I think I feel like everybody has this thing that creates light in their body. So just like, you know, there's some people who do not like to play pickleball with people at a different level than them. If they're like, I'm so good and I need to play with certain whatever, or same thing with tennis. But for me, my highest power, my highest gift is to be a teacher. And so I find if I can bring joy to any connection, that's what's most important, not really the level of awareness or intellect or consciousness, but just you can find light in anybody really. And just meeting them there is, I think that's it. I find it's not like managing a relationship. I don't like to manage any relationship. I think a relationship is going to actualize and evolve into whatever it's going to be, just based on how you show up with it. And so in my space at Third Eye, like I feel like I've got really good energetic boundaries where people just can't come up on me and I make that a thing, and that's it. So like, if I'm wanting to connect with somebody, or if I want to be in someone's space, I have really good boundaries, and I just ask for consent, and that's it. Like, that's, I think connection is in relationships only fruit if all parties are desiring for it to fruit, and there's a desire for something to happen within it. And I think it's magnetism at the end of the day. Like, we've got so much minerals in us, we're basically magnets.
Just reflecting on what you said, mainly what I was thinking about when I asked that question was about family, about relationships that some people tend to really want to be close to, but there are just differences in values.
Oh, you're talking about my family? I got you. Yeah.
Well, no, not yours. I think just in general.
Oh, yeah. So I love this. I love this topic, because as soon as you think you've done some healing, or as soon as you think you kind of have worked on some childhood stuff, you go see your family and you get to see there's a whole bag of other things there. And that's kind of what some of the work I do is help people reconnect with some of that those lost aspects or forgotten aspects, unconscious things. So at the end of the day, I believe there's just patterns and genetics, and it's based on timelines as well. So when it comes to just finding like your parents or people in your family that have various differences or a lot of judgments, or if there has been just a lot of blocks between, there's a lot you can do. I believe there's actual, like for me, I had my own trauma around reconnecting with my father and finding more love with my mom and all the relations there. And it wasn't easy. Like for me, I went to a 10-day meditation, silent meditation, Vipassana, and it messed me up, where it created so much awareness of all these unconscious and anger and all sorts of feelings and emotions that I had trapped in my body. And I had to face it and communicate, and it created a lot of dialogue between my parents that I didn't feel was healthy at the time, but then now looking back, it was so healthy and so amazing and so healing, and helped me and them in so many ways. So and we now have a really beautiful relationship. I talk to my parents quite often and have a great connection regardless of our belief system or lifestyle. And I think it's one of those things where you finding the common ground, clearing old stories and finding compassion, because hurt people, and a lot of times the generation that we lived in weren't the best parents. They just didn't have the best boundaries. They didn't know a lot, and we have to just look at it from that's the truth, and then how do we heal the inner child that's wounded and scared and can't be seen? And then from there, I believe you can, get to a place where you find some self-regulation, you find some healing and find some safety around whatever trauma. And then recognizing like the way trauma works, in my belief, is that whatever happens from that space, it's what's present and the symptoms that you track from there. So it's like, somebody has probably done a lot of work already unconsciously on something with their own consciousness and now has to process it from a different aspect. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if our listeners are wondering what's going on in the background, Neil's actually at Third Eye, I believe.
Right? Yeah. They're doing construction here. I'm really sorry.
There's construction, there's wind, there's chimes. So if you're in the Austin area or want to visit Austin, make sure to go visit. It is a tranquil, beautiful, spiritual, lovely place. And I mean, he's home. I feel like, well, I'm home when I'm there too. So
yeah,
that's totally just what that noise is.
Yep.
I see what you're saying about family. What the question that comes up the most as I hear you speak is, can you heal a relationship if you are the only one that is healed?
Yeah. And so I think it's kind of like, you can meet people where they're at. You don't have to heal anybody else. You have to heal the story within you. So someone else may have a different experience or have a different consciousness or different awareness. But if you can find peace and completion around a relationship dynamic, you've closed the loop. You've cut the cord. So, and when that happens, just the way I believe in God and in nature and connection, when you do that work inside, then the external actually can create a shift. 99% of the time, it'll create a shift. And that's just been my experience. So the best thing you can do is if you have to apologize or if you want to make something right, do that first. Clear any kind of energies that are potentially something that you need to be accountable for. And from there, that's when the healing occurs. That's when the healing begins.
Yeah, the image that came up for me is almost like two watch gears. And when a relationship has pain or trauma, two people, they're stuck and neither of them can move. But when you heal your own gear, so you take away those nubs on the end and you're just like this smooth circle that's moving, it doesn't get stuck. Yep. And so to your point, I think if you are healed, then you can, I won't use the word manage, but you can exist within a relationship in a way that is productive for yourself and healing for yourself.
100%. And with that, it's kind of like if you have done that work and they're even in your vicinity, they most probably will mirror that kind of evolution potentially, which is also quite nice if you want to potentially have a smooth grinding relationship again. Yeah, it's cool. It's beautiful. I love that analogy.
This has been beautiful. I feel like there's so much more I want to talk to you about, but in respect of your time and to keep our listeners' attention, even though I'm sure they want more, I want them to continue to want more. Any last words of advice for everyone?
Yeah. So if you are having blocks or you are unhappy at work or whatever it may be, whatever life process you have and you want to find out more about yourself or what you're capable of or whatever it is, I recommend a few books. If it's childhood trauma, it's It Didn't Start With You. It's a great book. Otherwise, if you have certain blocks in the lower Dantian or sexual trauma, I recommend learning some tantra. That can help clear energy and get strength in the lower parts of the body. And if anybody has experienced actual physical or violence from family members, I recommend something called the completion process, which is a form of hypnosis where you become more tethered to yourself. You learn how to self-regulate as well as heal stuff from past childhood wounds. So,
And I do all those resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you are an expert in those as well. So another step would be to reach out to Neil.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'll put that information in the notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your focus. Thank you for your wisdom. This has been a pleasure.
Awesome. Let's get on the pickleball court soon.
I'm down. Heading out of town next week again, but I'm coming out to the courts, and I think I need to practice a little bit more on my own though too.
Awesome. All right, sweet brother.
You've been part of the Live for Yourself Revolution. If you've enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share with a friend and spread the good word. Till next time, keep on living for yourself.